Welcome back. The trimming of our lamps. I trust you've been blessed with this interesting discourse. The pastor has opened our eyes to understand the foolish and the wise virgins and has told us about the trimming of the lamp. But I still have a question to ask the pastor. How can we trim our lamps? How can we trim our lamp?
It starts first by a sincere spirit.
A sincere spirit.
Yeah. A spirit that really wants truth. There's a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made. He said there were many widows in Israel. But God did not send Elijah
to any of them
except that one as Zarephath.
That's right.
Now, why did he send to him? You see, now, first and foremost, he knew that anytime this woman, when you hear God, she will submit.
Amen.
But if you are going to go to one that will say, if it is God, will it be like this? If it is God and is suspicious of everything, God cannot send a servant to go. You go and die for nothing. You can't receive. Secondly, he says, I think James is the one that said a doubtful.
Yes, sir.
A double-minded.
Double-minded man. Is
double-minded man is unstable in all his on all his ways.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
So will God deal with such a person? That is why he calls them virgins. Virgins in the sense that they are not polluted. They are not influenced. They are not easily influenced by religion. Your question is, how? First and foremost, you must open your heart to be able to receive revelation from God. If you say that you have arrived, that is the walled city. A city that is walled remains limited to those walls. Is there any room for expansion?
At all, sir.
You see? So that is prison. And that is what denomination is. No denominational person ever has room for any further revelation from God. For two reasons. Nothing will make him respond to what he hears because he's too rooted there. So you have to have the right spirit. That you see, it starts with a hunger. They that thirst.
Hunger and thirst for righteousness.
And thirst after righteousness.
Shall be filled.
You want to know. You can imagine Apostle Paul. What is the first thing he did when he met with Christ? He went to study. And this type of study is what he was conveying to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Amen and amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Now, do you know why he said approval unto God? Because what is your filter? If you only want to study, you know, and you are judging, you are going to accept what you will see by what you think you already know from a sermon book, from your denominational creed, from the teaching of your geo. If that is what you are going to, you will miss it. Because you are studying to confirm what you already know.
I see.
Such a person, you can never go beyond where you are.
World city.
Then he said something there.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Why will I be ashamed to correct myself?
Hey.
People are challenging me. That you say you are correcting yourself. Why would I not correct when the light? It was a candlelight. I thought it was a human being. Then the thing come and I noticed that it was an animal sitting there. So I should not correct myself.
Hallelujah.
I should not be ashamed. That is one of the reasons he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not go with shame. After all, to start with, the preaching of the gospel the cross of Jesus Christ is an emblem of suffering and shame. So we are not ashamed to say, you know, and we made a mistake and correct it.
Amen and amen.
That is restitution. That is the true restitution. Mm. Okay. So that is the first. Then, you know, with that frame of mind, when you begin to study, you have opened your spirit now for revelation to come in. Then the Spirit of God, who that dwells in you, which is also a teacher, will begin to teach you things.
Wow. Hunger first.
Yes.
Study and then the love.
Hunger and sincerity.
Hunger and sincerity.
Yes.
Hunger, sincerity, then you study.
Then you study.
And then
show yourself approved to God.
The Holy Ghost will take over from there. Thank you so much, sir. You said so much. In trimming our lamps, some of us have been coming across some interesting teachings on air lately. And because we want to trim our lamps, we don't want to be foolish virgins. We need to understand what the Bible says about some of these things. And first on my list is a teaching from a man of God, a doctor. I don't know if he's a medical doctor or doctor of, I think he's doctor of divinity. A very popular doctor here in Nigeria, man of God. I will play the video, sir, for you to listen to what he says about God's judgment. God's judgment is not futuristic. That the judgment of the Lord is happening now. So this idea of you're going to have, everybody will come before God and give account of himself, the white throne judgment or judgment of Christ, from what he's saying is wrong. So let's sit back and watch this interesting talk from this man of God.
So I'm sure you understand judgment now. That the judgment of God is not that we're going to sit on a throne and people will line up and be coming. The judgment of God has been prejudged, and the judgment of God is within the choices we make. He that believeth not is judged already. He that believes is not condemned, is not judged, because he believed. It's not going to be that we're going to queue up in heaven and they will play television and no such thing. That is childhood fantasy. John 5:22. Pay attention.
For the Father judgeth no man.
Repeat.
For the Father judgeth no man.
Repeat.
For the Father judgeth no man.
Louder.
For the Father judgeth no man.
For the Father judgeth how many men?
No man.
No man. Read on.
But hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
He hath committed how many judgment? Unto who? So he that believeth in the Son is condemned. So believing in Jesus is judgment. Not believing in Jesus is judgment. So the judgment is not in the future. The judgment is now. He prejudges, hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So if a man will judge, he will only judge with his character. See that? If a man will judge, he will only judge with his character. For example, God's character for judgment will be life, light, love. If you reject his life, you take death. If you reject his light, you take darkness. If you reject his love, you take hatred or destruction. Now, please listen carefully. It is still God's love to let you have your way. It is still God's love. It is tyranny for God to say, no, you don't want me, but you must take me by force. That's tyranny, and God is not a tyrant. He's a father. He's not going to stop you. He's going to let you have your way. That's why he gave you the will. He can't give you a will and override your will. No. Yes, that's why he gave you a will. Now, so love exposes hatred. The life of God exposes death. The light of God exposes darkness.
It doesn't end there, sir. It goes ahead in another video to say that God doesn't have the rot. God doesn't have rot. So let's also watch this video where our wonderful pastor says, God does not have rot.
We have consequences attached to the choices or decisions that we make. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. I like you to circle the word, the wrath of God, because we need to do some work on that word, wrath of God. If you observe very carefully, verse 36, the wrath of God, is it God's action or man's action? So that word wrath of God is man-made. So the wrath of God, therefore, will be man removing himself from God's action. Remember, we are taking time also in the process of this to define the single character of God. God does not have a hidden agenda, and God does not have the other side, like they always say, the other side of God. God only has one consistent character, and that character of God is love. That character of God is life. That character of God is light. And even in judgment, what we call the wrath of God is man-made, because the wrath is not in the action of God. The wrath is in the action of man towards the offer of God. So we have seen God's action. He sent his Son. We have seen God's action. He gave life. So the wrath of God will be the absence of life and will be the absence of his Son. The wrath of God is in the love of God, which means he does not have wrath. Because you only get the rod because his love is absence. The absence of God's love is what we call the rod of God. Just like darkness is not. Darkness is not. Because darkness only exists when light is absent. So it is light. But the absence of light is darkness. Darkness is what a man sees when he does not receive light. So let me ask you a very simple question. So is the wrath of God his presence or absence? All right, absence. In Genesis 2, if you observe, death is his absence. You won't find God and death in the same place until the sacrifice of Jesus. It was in the sacrifice of Jesus that God accepted death on man's behalf. Until then, and after then, you will never find God and death having any business. So, death reigned before Jesus died. What gave death the opportunity to reign was man's attitude towards God's offer. Man's attitude. Don't forget the motions again. Wherefore, as by one man, sin and death by sin. Don't also forget, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So man, lust, uncontrolled desire, sin, death, all from man. Man, the architect of his problem. Not Satan, man. So if you observe carefully, there will be no death in God, because God says to man, life, death. Choose. Man says, I don't want life, I prefer death. So the absence of life brought death.
Okay, even if some of us don't understand what he's saying, he still went further in another video to say God is not a lion and a lamb. Wow. That the Lord Jesus is only a lamb and not a lion. Now, let's listen to the speech of Abel Damina.
Wow.
God is not bipolar. He's not a lion and a lamb. The lion and the lamb. He's not a lion and a lamb. Lion is for destruction. Lions are ferocious. They destroy. Jesus can be a lion and a lamb. That's dual personality. He's only a lamb. He's a lamb taken to the slaughter and yet did not defend himself. He can be a lion. I have told you that Jewish man in Revelation who said Jesus is a lion was just a Jewish man that was speaking from his personal bias. And you will never see anywhere else Jesus is described as a lion outside that revelation. Because he's not a lion, he's a lamb. Lions are known for destruction. That's why the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God has only one character, he's a lamb. The lamb of God slain from when? Foundation of the world, he's a lamb, he's not a lion. So the weakest thing a man can do is to use the power of God. You know, that's the weakest thing you can do. Somebody took advantage of you and you have all the power to crush him. And you tell him, I forgive you. That's weakness. But that's the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wow. This is very interesting. You've heard him for yourself, sir. So let's trim our lamps, sir.
Let's trim our lamps. First and foremost, I want us to, let me talk to the followers of that ministry.
Mm.
Let me talk to the followers of that ministry. Oratory ability is not evidence of communication of truth.
Mm. Mm.
Communication of truth is not determined by how it is presented.
Mm.
In fact, to convey truth, you don't need too much of talking to do.
Mm.
It is to take you away from truth that you need a lot of convincing to make.
Mm.
That is why the Bible speaks about with feigned words.
Mm.
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 3.
And true covetousness.
Look, from verse 1.
Okay. But there were false prophets also among the people.
This among the people here is talking about Israel, who answered the call of Moses.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Even as there shall be false teachers among you,
uh-huh,
who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Uh-huh.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
And you are seeing now, denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, many shall follow their what?
Pernicious ways.
Uh-huh.
By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
And verse 3.
And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Feigned words. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
From verse 2.
Okay.
In fact, from verse 1, because Apostle Paul met this type of preachers and he was really bitter over it.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Uh-huh. And indeed, bear with me.
Because of his response, the way he was going to react. Yes?
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Uh-huh.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Now, then he went back to the Garden of Eden.
But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety.
What is it?
Beguiled through his subtlety.
Beguiled. Beguiled, deceived. Through what?
It's subtlety.
So subtlety there is not one sentence, one, two, this one. No. He took time and spoke eloquently.
Mm.
What should happen?
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
That, now, so that, go verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus,
another,
whom we have not preached,
yes,
or if you receive another spirit,
yes,
which ye have not received,
uh-huh,
or another gospel, which uh-huh ye have not accepted,
uh-huh,
ye might well bear with him.
Now, if you go to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and verse 2.
Okay. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils.
Yes.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
They will depart from the faith. Now, it's not talking, this scripture is not talking to the preacher. So. He has finished identifying these people. Now he's not looking at the followers. He said, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits
and doctrines of
and
devils.
Doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Why? The same Timothy was speaking about people with
feigned words,
itching ears.
2 Timothy 4.
Read on.
From verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own
lust. Who is he talking to? The people that are listening.
But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
They will turn into fables. Who are those with these fables? 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. What did he say in verse 15 and verse 16?
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yes.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Yes.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings.
Now, this is why I'm going. But shun what?
Profane and vain
and
babblings.
Vain babblings.
Or they will increase unto more ungodly.
Go on. Read on.
And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Emmanuel and Philetus.
Again, who?
Emmanuel and Philetus.
Emmanuel and Philetus were preachers in the days of Apostle Paul. What were they teaching?
Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Is Ebenezer not saying that water baptism
has expired?
Holy communion, no need. This one, no need. Now he is saying that God has no wrath. Very soon he will say Jesus is not coming back. Because Jesus is in you already. Where is he coming from again? Because that seemed to be his line of thinking. I would not be surprised, therefore, if he says one day that Jesus is no longer coming, because he has come. That is how he's reasoning. Where is he? He's already in you. Now, when he sees his explanation of wrath, it's in the same line. Now, unknown to him that God, and let me quickly tell you this too. In the last clip you just showed, he said God is not bipolar.
Has no dual identity.
He said that is, he was referring to Christ now, referring to God, referring to him. Until he's referring to this revered John that God gave us that love letter called the Book of Revelation. That we are rejoicing that through that our faith is lined up. He said that Jewish man spoke his own mind.
A personal bias.
He said it was a personal bias. Can you imagine that? Now, unknown to him, that the God that we know is God that is full of attributes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen and amen.
Now, the Bible says, let us make man in our
image
and in our likeness. One of the things that he did is that he created us also with attributes. A man, we are also bipolar.
Yes,
in fact,
sir.
We are more than bipolar. We are multipolar. Do you understand? Not just bipolar, but multipolar. Because man is creative.
Mm.
Man is physical and is also spiritual. Mm. Man is body, soul, and spirit.
Man has emotions.
Man has emotions.
Mm.
Man can be happy, man can be sad.
Amen.
Man can be full of anger, and man can be full of love.
Hallelujah.
Man can be merciful. Man can be, and God also has the same attributes. Ooh. Why will you say God is not?
Amen funny? And amen.
Now, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God because he was coming as a sacrificial lamb.
Amen.
He is also the Passover lamb.
Amen.
But after he has paid the price of redemption, he comes and takes upon himself the next office
Amen.
That now belongs to him because he has conquered.
Amen.
Where did he conquer? At the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
He obeyed even to the death on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
Therefore, he is given a name. Now worship comes to him.
Mm.
At the mention of that name, every knee bows. He came as a sacrificial lamb, as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John introduced him so. Now, in the book of Revelation, John the Beloved now was now seeing him coming now to be a king. He uses lion because the lion is the king.
Amen.
Now remember, the scepter shall not depart from Judah.
Nor a lawgiver from between his feet.
Nor a lawgiver.
Amen and amen.
So the king is going to come from the tribe of Judah.
Hallelujah.
The king of the forest is who?
The lion.
Is the lion generally known so?
Amen.
Therefore, no man was qualified to collect that book in Revelation chapter 5 where he's making reference to until suddenly the lion of the tribe
of Judah.
Amen. That is the king.
Amen. Amen.
He alone has prevailed and worthy.
Amen.
So, Jesus Christ, I hope you know that the same Bible says Jesus Christ is the son of David.
Amen.
He's also the son of
God.
Now, he is deity. And he's also human.
Amen and amen.
He is a lamb.
Sacrifice.
He's a king.
Lion. Amen.
He's a prophet.
Amen.
Thus said the Lord.
Amen.
He's a priest.
Amen.
After the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
Sit at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. One man.
Mm.
And he will soon stand up from that seat and come back to judge.
Mm. Amen and amen.
All judgment is committed unto him.
Amen.
If God does not judge, why will he give him judgment?
Mm.
To judge on his behalf.
Mm.
So I think Abel Damina needs to go back to the scriptures.
So he's even one of the elders. Revelation 5:5.
It's not even John.
Yes, sir.
It is even one of the elders that
introduced.
Thank you very much. It's not John that was saying it.
Revelation 5:5.
Thank you.
And one of the elders said unto me,
one of the 24 elders
Amen.
That you saw in Revelation chapter 4.
Mm. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
The root of David.
He is the root of David. Description of Jesus.
Mm.
Is he not the root of David? Bipolar. So Amen. I think Abel Damina is missing it somewhere.
Okay, what about the judgment of God not being futuristic, that God has already judged us?
Now, when as far as sin is concerned, sin has been judged on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
Therefore, anything that is judged has no power again over you. That is the meaning. So don't be afraid. The power of sin has been taken away from Satan. He has no power over you if you will come to Christ. Because he is the one that has the power over that sin. It has been taken away. That is, sin has been judged. Now, there are different types of judgments that maybe Abel Damina has not yet considered. We have the judgment that took place on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
Sin has been judged. The power is taken away.
Amen.
Now, we also have What is judgment? Anyway, let's even define judgment first. Judgment is the reward for iniquity. What is judgment? Judgment is the condemnation that you receive for sin, for disobedience. Now, there is the offer of life to the world. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not is what?
Damned already.
You are already damned. You are damned. That is the judgment. So, come, but this judgment is settled, but not yet executed.
Amen.
It is already settled. It's judged already because the provision for your type is already provided.
Amen.
When you say you are judged already, that means where you will end up is already provided for.
Amen.
That is the meaning. Where you will end up is already provided for. For it is appointed unto man how many times to die?
Once.
Eh?
It's appointed unto man once to die.
Once to die. After that is what?
Judgment.
So why are you saying judgment is not futuristic?
Okay, and Hebrews 9:27.
Yes.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die.
Yes.
But after this, the judgment.
The judgment. So it is futuristic. But there is the present judgment now for the children of God. And that is what you see in Hebrews chapter 10. I hope I'm correct. No, it's Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
At least that's should be Hebrew from verse 5. Read it
okay
up to maybe verse 11 or so.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation
yes.
which speaketh unto you as unto children.
Yes,
my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
That is the chastisement, the chastening of the Lord. Yes.
And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers.
All are partakers.
Then are ye bastards
yes.
and not sons.
Yes.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But if our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous.
Thank you.
But grievous.
Thank you.
Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Now, go to, so this is the judgment we receive. Now, as children of God, when you have a relationship with God as your father, just like the earthly fathers chastise their children, that is how we are also chastened by God. When you commit anything, remove your peace. That's what David in Psalm 51 said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And Apostle Paul also said, cast off that one, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that the flesh may be destroyed, the spirit may be,
saved,
excommunicate him. The later on, it should be restored and things like that. And so that is the one that goes on now. But the unbeliever, their own is already reserved. While ours is now. Spear the rod and spoil the child. The relationship that fathers have with their children, the same kind of relationship we will have with our father.
Amen.
Now also, we, the bride of Jesus Christ, that we go in the rapture. Romans chapter 14. Now, there's a statement there from verse 10 to verse 13.
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Again.
For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Is it futuristic?
Very futuristic. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
Now verse 12.
So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Is it futuristic? Shall.
Futuristic, sir.
Shall. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, read it from verse 9. No, read it from verse 9 first.
Wherefore we labor.
We labor here now.
That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body.
This body here, physical here, we are going to give account of it later.
That's true. According to that he had done, whether it be good or bad.
Is this futuristic?
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
Now, therefore, go ahead.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
What do we do?
We persuade men.
That the terror there is future.
Amen.
Eh? But what?
But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
In your consciences. Now, what does this verse 10 say? What does it mean? He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So that you will understand Christ's parable in Luke chapter 19. That parable is the parable of the talents.
Amen.
I don't know how Abel Damina will explain that one. Now, if you read it from verse 11.
Luke 19 from verse 11.
Yes.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
So occupy till I come. Has he come?
No, sir.
Has he come?
No, sir.
So it's futuristic. Go ahead.
But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was
Who is this man? Is not the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen. And
I hope Abel Damina knows it is Christ. Yes.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
When he came back, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And will he not soon come?
Amen.
We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He will sit before us. Now, whether it is going to be us assembling in some field somewhere and him standing there calling us one by one, as he was sarcastically putting it. The way people preach it is just to give a picture of the fact that you are going to account for what you've done. I'm not also expecting that people will line up and then they will call you one by one, one by one, one by one. No, everybody will know. You will know. You will know that this is what you deserve, and this is what you have earned for yourself. So the point is that this parable is what everybody knows. He comes, and that is the judgment. That is what we will face when we go in the rapture.
Amen.
Now, the Father judgeth no man.
Yes, sir.
But he has committed all judgment
to the Son.
Now, this judgment, now listen, what I'm not go back to that Luke 19. Now, what did he say? Verse 16.
Then came the first saying,
yes,
Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities.
Now, how many cities?
10 cities.
Authority. That takes place during the millennium. That is what John saw in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4.
Revelation 24.
Yes.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were
beheaded. These thrones are these cities.
Amen and amen.
Authority. And see the category of people.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Yes.
And for the word of God.
Yes.
And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Now, see something here. You know, that is the judgment for
the believers.
Now, that is what Abel Damina is struggling with understanding in John chapter 5, where he seems to be quoting so authoritatively. Now, this was Christ. First and foremost, in verse 22, he quoted it.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
He has all judgment is unto the Son. Now, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me Hath everlasting life.
Now, when he say hath everlasting life, he's theology cannot break this thing down. Because when you say he that believeth on him, Satan believes too. Doesn't Satan believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just reading it surfacely.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized.
Amen.
So the fact that it's not written there does not mean that you will not go through the process of having eternal life.
There are parameters.
Mm. There are parameters.
Mm.
There's a process. Mm. And that process is what you see in Ezekiel chapter 36.
Amen.
And he broke it down. Amen. How it is achieved.
Hallelujah.
Now go to verse 25.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Now, when he say the hour is coming and now is, so it makes it look as if
it's happening now.
No, it's not happening. It's at this time now. If you follow his thinking.
Mm.
So it means this scripture has long been fulfilled. Now.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Verse 26.
Yes.
For as the Father hath life in himself, uh-huh, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
Uh-huh.
And he has given him authority to execute judgment also.
He has given him authority to execute judgment also. Why?
Because he is the Son of Man.
Uh-huh.
Marvel not at this.
Now this is where he's grumbling with.
For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
All that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
And shall come forth.
They shall come forth.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life.
Uh-huh.
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Now this is where he is, you know, getting confused. There are two resurrections.
Amen.
The resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation.
That's right.
And he's saying that this idea of putting it between two different periods is wrong. No, sir, you are the one not seeing it properly, Brother Abel, Dr. Abel. Now, listen. Go back to that where we read in Revelation chapter 20.
Yes, sir.
Verse 4 again.
Revelation 24.
Yes.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them.
Uh-huh.
And judgment was given unto them.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And for the word of God.
Yes.
And which had not worshipped the beast,
uh-huh,
neither his image,
uh-huh,
neither had received his mark upon their foreheads,
yes,
or their hands.
Yes.
And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
They reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Go on, verse 5.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were
finished. But have some not resurrected?
They have.
Eh?
Hmm.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
What did he say?
This is the first resurrection.
So there is a first resurrection. But he is the voice of resurrection that will bring them back.
Hmm.
Then go to verse 6.
Verse 6.
Yes.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part,
yes,
in his first resurrection.
Uh-huh.
On such the second death hath no power.
The second death has no power.
But they shall be priests of God and of Christ.
Oh, glory be to God.
And shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So that there is the first resurrection and there is the second resurrection.
Hmm.
The first resurrection is a resurrection unto life.
Right.
That is why 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, verse 16.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yes.
With the voice of the archangel.
Yes.
And with the trump of God.
Uh-huh.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
What? The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
That means there will be another one that will rise again.
Later.
That's what I want you to,
amen,
note. There will be another one that will rise later.
Mm.
So that you have to understand. Now, when this one that will rise later is chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20,
mm-hmm,
verse 11.
And I saw a great white throne,
uh-huh,
and him that sat on
who
it.
Who is he that will sit on it?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. Uh-huh.
From
because
whose face,
all judgment is committed unto him.
Mm.
Yes.
From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
Yes.
And there was found no place for them.
Yes.
And I saw the dead, small and great,
uh-huh,
stand before God.
Uh-huh.
and the books were opened.
Uh-huh.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Uh-huh.
And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book,
uh-huh,
according to their works.
Uh-huh.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it.
Okay.
And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works.
Note verse 14.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
What is it?
This is the second death.
And this second death, does it not take place only after 1,000 years?
Yes, sir.
Why are you then saying that? And is this not a judgment?
It is, sir.
Is this judgment not futuristic?
Very futuristic.
How about
it? The scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, 5.
Yes.
It says, therefore, judge nothing before
the time. Before the time, because there is a time for judgment.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Judge nothing before the time,
amen,
because this judgment is futuristic.
Mm. Amen and amen.
And I want you to note, you know, you say God does not have wrath.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. I don't know how to judgment. Let's see Revelation chapter 8. Let me just ask a few questions there.
Okay. Revelation what, sir?
It's Revelation chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Verse 2. What does it say?
And I saw,
okay, verse 1 and verse 2, when the seventh seal was opened.
And when he had opened the seventh seal,
yes,
there was silence in heaven,
uh-huh,
about the space of half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the seven angels who stood before God.
Yes.
And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints,
uh-huh,
upon the golden altar which was before the
who
throne.
Who was giving those angels? What did he say? He says, verse 3.
And another angel came and stood at the altar,
uh-huh,
having a golden censer.
Uh-huh.
And there was given unto him much incense.
Uh-huh.
That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints,
uh-huh,
upon the golden altar which was before the throne,
uh-huh,
and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints.
These seven angels, where did they get the authority?
From the throne of God.
Are there no judgment to judge the earth?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 61.
Isaiah 61.
Verse 1 and verse 2.
Hey. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 says,
yes,
the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me,
uh-huh,
because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Uh-huh.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
uh-huh,
to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound,
uh-huh,
to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
And what?
And the day of vengeance of our God.
Is God going to avenge?
Amen.
With what? No, but the time to exhibit his anger. Hebrews chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
He said, if you sin willfully, what happens?
Verse 26. For if we sin willfully,
uh-huh,
after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
But what are you waiting for?
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment,
uh-huh,
and fiery indignation,
Jesus,
which shall devour the adversary.
Uh-huh.
He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three.
Who gave that law?
The Lord God Almighty.
Uh-huh, to Moses. And now?
Of how much sorrow punishment.
He said even now, with the more certainty of it than the time of Moses. Go ahead.
Of how much sorrow punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who are trodden underfoot the Son of God,
uh-huh,
and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing,
uh-huh,
and are done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
Uh-huh.
For we know him that said,
who said it?
The Lord God of Almighty.
That what?
Vengeance belongeth unto me.
Does God revenge?
I will recompense, saith the Lord.
Does God recompense?
And again, the Lord shall judge his people.
Will he judge his people?
Mm. Uh-huh. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Habba, Abel. You have not read the scripture up to this?
The consuming fire.
The Bible even calls God a consuming fire.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are two periods that you may not know. Joel chapter 2.
Mm.
228.
Joel 228.
Yes.
Okay. And it shall come to pass afterward.
Yes.
That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Uh-huh.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Uh-huh.
And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heaven.
That's verse 29, right?
Yes, sir.
That, when was that fulfilled?
On the day of Pentecost.
On the day of Pentecost, this particular scripture was fulfilled.
Amen.
Then after that, a long period of about 2,000 years apart, judgment from verse 30, what will happen?
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
Imagine that. And somebody is saying he does not believe in
Amos 5:18 says, woe unto you that desire
that is,
the
that is the scripture I'm coming to. He said, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6, what does it say?
Malachi 4, 5 and 6 says, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
So there is a great and dreadful day of the Lord coming. And so that you will understand Romans chapter 1.
Romans 1.
Yes. In fact, that verse alone, what does it say?
Verse what, sir?
Verse 18.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against
all. For what? What is revealed?
The wrath of God.
And then Ebedamina said, God has no wrath. Revealed from heaven
against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
They hold the truth in righteousness because?
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
And then he mentioned all the nonsense that they were doing that would bring that wrath upon them. Verse 32.
Who knowing the judgment of God.
Man know that the judgment, that is the judgment of God.
That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
How can you deny that there is the wrath of God? How can you say? Now. Maybe, you know, you can see, I don't want to go too much in the Old Testament because he keeps saying the Old Testament is Old Testament. But I want you to know that Noah was not under the Old Testament.
Amen.
Noah was under grace. So let's look at Noah in Genesis.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes, I don't know how, what is paining me is that nobody is replying him. Of course, when you don't have a better revelation to prove it, you have to keep listening to him. You know, and verse 5, what did God say? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth.
I will do what?
Destroy
man. Is that rot?
Yes, sir, rot.
In verse 13.
And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Is that the wrath of God?
Amen.
Did he do it?
He did it.
So why will you say there is no wrath of God?
Sir, Romans 9:22 says, yes. What if God,
yes,
willing to show his wrath?
So what if God willing to show his wrath? So God has wrought. If he doesn't have it, what will he show?
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen and amen.
God has anger.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Isaiah, that he created evil. Did he create it? Everything he creates, he creates for his pleasure.
Isaiah 45.
Let me get that scripture quickly. Isaiah 45, yes.
45:7. I form the light.
Yes, that is the one I'm looking for.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil.
He God create evil.
I, the Lord, do all these things.
Proverbs 16, verse 4, uncle.
Proverbs 16:4 says,
yes.
The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of
God. Okay, now. So you can see. And remember that he said, even hell has enlarged her course. Okay. Why? Because more people are going in there. So the wrath of God is coming. That is why Noah found grace.
Amen.
The people don't know what is coming. Therefore, they are living their life as if this is the end. And you said the wrath of God is not futuristic. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, from verse 1, listen.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that they shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the
because
creation.
It was delayed. Because it is futuristic.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire.
Future. They are kept future. Future judgment. Kept unto what?
Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and penalty.
There is a day of judgment by who? It's by God himself. Futuristic.
Day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing.
Yes.
That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years.
Can you see? So it's futuristic. Yes, and 1,000 years.
And 1,000 years as a day.
Verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but his long suffering, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Futuristic.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a
great noise. That is God's wrath, judgment.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
That is by God himself.
The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought it to be?
Okay,
in all holy conversation and godliness.
Yes.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God.
Future. Future is coming.
Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt to fervent heat. Now, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new earth.
That is what we are looking for. Future.
And a new earth.
Future.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Verse 14.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found.
We are waiting for such things, we should be diligent and be found
of him in peace, without spots and blameless. An account that is.
Why? Because this is where Abel Damina falls in verse 13.
The long suffering of our Lord.
Yes.
Salvation.
Yes.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also. According to wisdom given unto him, as written unto you.
Verse 16.
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things are to be understood.
How to be understood?
Which they that are unlearned.
Them that are unlearned like Abel Damila.
And unstable. Rest. As they do also the other scriptures.
They rest all other things, including other scriptures.
Unto their own
it is unto their own destruction. Something clear in the scripture about what they're waiting for. Apostle Paul said, if there is no resurrection, then we are among all men most miserable. Because Hermanos and Philetus were saying, no judgment again. Judgment is futuristic. I mean, it's not futuristic. Judgment is now. Resurrection has passed already. That's what they were teaching. So then why are we risking our lives? If we will die, we will not resurrect again. That's the kind of thing. If there is no rot coming up, then what am I afraid of? When he said, be fearful.
Praise the Lord.
It's very annoying, but note Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. From verse 4.
Okay. Neither filthiness.
Yes.
Nor foolish talking.
Yes.
Nor jesting, yes. Which are not convenient.
Yes.
But rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger.
No whoremonger.
No unclean,
unclean person.
No covetous man.
Man, idolater.
At any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ.
Now watch verse 6.
Let no man deceive
again.
You with vain words.
Again.
Let no man deceive you with vain words.
Again.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, commit the wrath of God upon the children of
Israel. There is wrath of God coming for the kind of life, and it is futuristic.
It's coming.
It's coming. God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. You've done justice to these things In fact, the bride of Christ has conferred on you a title as a defender of the truth.
Yes, I'm a defender of the
amen
truth.
And amen.
Because remember that in Jude verse 3, what did he say?
Contend earnestly.
And that is who I am. I think you should call me a contender. What did he say for the sake
beloved,
of those hearing?
When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation,
yes,
it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Why? Verse 4.
For there are certain men crept in
unawares
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Okay, now.
Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
And to deny the Lord God is to deny his word.
Hallelujah.
Ultimo.
Thank you so very much, sir. Wow, for contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We have so many other things he said. For instance, confessions of sins are useless and unbiblical. 666 is not a mark, it's a teaching. And the Antichrist is not a person, it's a teaching. Generational curses, demon wife, husband do not exist. And then there is nothing after the rapture, no tribulation, nothing. The rapture ends it all. All this, the pastor would contend for in the next episode of Rapture Watch next week. So please be a part of the next episode of Rapture Watch. Don't miss it. There are so many other things he said that the pastor would answer scripturally and properly establish the bride of Christ. So thank you for joining us on Rapture Watch today. A big thank you to all sponsors and supporters of the Bride TV. God bless you. Until we meet again, see you in the rapture. Shalom.